Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
A trailblazer of alt country, a singer of fiery commitment, a songwriter of great ability, Steve Earle is certainly an artist of expansive talents. He will be at Mass Mocha on Saturday, February 7th at the Hunter Center, and it is a great pleasure to welcome the legendary Steve Earle to the roundtable again. Thank you very much. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's very nice to have you here. It's great that you're going to be in town doing this event at Mass Mocha. What does touring mean to you now? Is it special? Is it something that you look forward to, or is it just, as we were talking a moment ago, part of the job?
Well, it is my job, but I probably tour more than I ever have, just because I have expenses that I haven't had before, and I'm going through a divorce. I've got a little boy with autism in a really expensive school, and so retirement's not in the cards for me. So it's one of those deals. So I work, and it's funny about, you know, solo shows. I do them, you know, between tours. I do have a record coming out February 17th, and in April we'll start a pretty major world tour with the band, and our usual deal, which is, you know, pretty much every inch of North America except for Mexico, and then we do pretty much all of Western Europe and Australia and New Zealand before it's over with. But, you know, I have a sort of string of stuff that I play on the East Coast, and Mass Mocha is one of those venues that I can go and do solo and do in different formats. I think the first time I played that room was with Odetta. God, it's been right after they started doing shows there, I guess. And it's great to have places like that, performing arts centers of that nature, because people come to places like that to hear music. And I started out playing solo, and so it's something I always come back to doing between tours anyway. I just finished a residency at the City Winery that I do every January in New York, where I play a solo show every Monday night, you know, and walk to work, because it's about 3 or 4 blocks from my apartment. You know, it's just, it's some of this and some of that. It's just, I'll do it. When you have a job like I do, you don't really retire anyway. I kind of like my job.
So let's talk. We'll talk about the solo show in a few minutes, but let's talk about the album. This is coming out on the 17th, as you mentioned. It's called Terraplane, and it's a new album with you and the band. So how would you describe it?
It's a blues record, plain and simple. It's called Terraplane, as in Robert Johnson's Terraplane Blues, which actually isn't on the album. I did record it, but my version of Terraplane Blues will be available back with Robert Johnson's version of Terraplane Blues as a 10-inch single on Record Store Day in April. I recorded it on the same sessions, but it's just me, it's not the band. But the blues is a fairly serious thing where I come from. I come from Texas, and there is no Los Angeles shuffle. There is no New York shuffle. There's only a Texas shuffle and a Chicago shuffle. And there's a lot of great blues artists that come from the state. I know a lot of them. I know a lot of the great blues artists that base out of Chicago. So the acoustic part of this, doesn't intimidate me much because I saw Mance Lipscomb and Lightning Hopkins in the same room at the same time on more than one occasion when I was coming up, and that part of it I've done before. But the electric part of it's always a little bit more intimidating. I just had the right band at the right time and wanted to write, you know, a whole album of new blues songs. And it's not that new a thing for a singer-songwriter to make a blues record. Dylan's been doing it for a long time.
When you come to Mass Mocha, how much of the new album can you share, given that it's solo?
I'll probably play three or four songs at most anyway. Yeah. We'll be back in that part, you know, Massachusetts, like towards the end of the first leg of the tour, like late in the summer, early in the fall anyway, just before we come into New York City to sort of wrap North America up before we go to Europe.
When it comes to working on a new album and putting it together and deciding what you want to go on it, is it, and just what you described a moment ago, is it natural or is it still really work for you?
It's both. I mean, it's like this one was started like all my records do. At the end of the last tour, I wrote a couple of these songs and we started playing them on sound checks. And that's when I started realizing, I guess this is going to be a blues record, when I wrote a couple of blues songs in a row. And Chris Masterson, my guitar player, the last, you know, three touring cycles, you know, cut his teeth on this stuff. And so I had the guitar player in the band to do it. So I just started working on stuff. And then I did a solo tour in Europe last September where I just sort of, just for personal reasons, I kind of wanted to keep things really simple, and I just took one guitar, one mandolin, and traveled by train by myself, didn't take a crew, and did a bunch of shows in the UK and Western Europe, as far south as Italy, I can tell you every train station in the UK that doesn't have an elevator, you know, that's for sure. But just a backpack and two instruments, and I hadn't done anything like that in a long time, and it was good for me. And during the time, I wrote about 2/3 of the lyrics, at least on this record.
When in doing that, is it freeing? I mean, when you're done, you're obviously proud of it, right?
Yeah, this record I'm really proud of because, I mean, the last time I had this sort of feeling of accomplishment, just because it's like I like giving myself a project to do, and that's why I do stuff for films and television. Sometimes I write specific things for movies and for TV, it's like I think it's kind of cool that I can do it when I'm asked to do it. You know, just not everybody can, and I can, so I feel like it's sort of, I feel like I should do it because I can. But the same thing with, I made a bluegrass record, and I wanted to write a whole record of new bluegrass songs and keep it within that format, and that turned out pretty well, and I'm pretty proud of this as well.
Well, the new album is Terraplain, and back to the show on Saturday, February 7th at Mass Mocha at the Hunter Center. At what point do you put a set list together? Is that set?
For a solo show, I don't have one.
It's
for
just you going on stage?
Never use one yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Set lists are for everybody else in the band, not for me and for the crew. And I don't really like to decide. If I could do the band shows, Springsteen, you know, I mean, it's like, I tell my band when they whinge about it, when I change things, that this worst thing, it could be worse, you could work for Bruce Springsteen. Because Bruce knows what he's going to play first is pretty much all he knows when he goes out there. And the band knows that. He's been known to call out songs that they don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean, forget about songs they haven't played in years. He'll play songs they've never played before. the overall crews and band guys like to be prepared, and they like to know what's coming next because of gear. I got good players I get to work with, and I try to, you know, try not to freak them out too bad. So I just, I use a set list, and it's pretty well planned. And we stick pretty much to the set list on band shows. On solo, therefore, as a reaction to that, when I do solo shows, I never even take a set list out. So it's like, if I do a run of solo shows, I'll know what I'm going to play first. And some of it will fall into kind of the same thing, but then it leaves some room for spontaneity. I've done a string of solo shows here recently because I played, you know, four shows at the City Winery, and I'm doing four nights at the Chicago Winery coming up. These are winter residencies I do every year, and it kind of gets me through the winter. So
something has to
kind of and hangs me, you know, allows me to hang around, you know, all winter with my little boy. So that's the good part of it. I get to see him all winter. So
when,
in the summer, I'll be pretty much gone.
When you do the solo stuff, does it help you when you're working on an album? In the sense of working through the music, working through songs, do you use it as a test ground as well?
Oh, sure. I always have. It's, you know, whether you got a song or not if you go out and play it. You know, if you can play it by yourself on one guitar and audiences respond to it, that's a song. That's my yardstick for a song. Anyway, just the way I came up.
When in that coming up and you look at your role now, I see they're billing you as the father of alt country. Is that a position that you're at all comfortable with?
Well, I'm just not sure that I have an opinion about it one way or the other. When I was coming up, you know, I was lucky. I lived in a place where Gram Parsons was played on the radio, and the Byrds records that he was on were played on the radio, and the Burrito Brothers were played on the radio, and his solo records were played on the radio. So it wasn't like in its first, you know, generation for me. It's not something I backtrack to. So, you know, I got out of jail and started my life over again. And at a moment when sometime while I was gone, there was a younger audience that started listening to Graham and Jason and the Scorchers and, God, Towns, you know, there were like, you know, Jay Farrar and, you know, people like that could quote Towns Van Zandt, you know, chapter and verse, which I found gratifying because I've been beating that drum for a long time. But they played Jerry Jeff Walker and Willie Nelson and Rusty Weir, and that was called that progressive country then. And before that, they called it country rock. And, you know, it's, I think it's all the same thing. I think it's, you know, it's sort of, you know, post Beatles, you know, a lot of the people that play it came out of a folk music tradition originally. You know, it encompasses a lot of things, and it even includes nowadays some bluegrass. So the latest term is Americana, I guess, and
right.
That's the Grammy format now. So, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm the father of any of those things. I think I had teachers, and they were Towns Van Zandt and Guy Clark and Jerry Jeff Walker, and that's directly, those guys were my teachers. And I saw Gram Parsons, you know, the first time I ever saw Emmylou Harris was singing with Gram Parsons at Liberty Hall in Houston, you know, when I was 17. So, you know, I'm not the father of anything. Who's the father of alternative country? Who would that be? I don't know. Maybe Mickey Newberry, maybe Johnny Cash. If you want to get right down to it, because he was kind of a hard dog to keep under the porch. Well, I don't know anybody that does what I do that's not a Johnny Cash fan. It's when I got out, you know, there was this whole, the alt country thing seemed, a lot of it seemed to be there was some nexus between that and emo stuff, I guess, you know, because it was, you know, the audience tended to be really horribly codependent girls and, you know, and guys that were just beginning to discover vinyl. So it's you know, it's like my audience is some of those people. The youngest part of my audience, you know, most of my audience is people my age. But the youngest part of my audience comes from the political side of what I do.
Right.
You know, my youngest fans are politically active people from my experience.
Well, you will be at Mass Smoke's Hunter Center on Saturday, February 7th for a great solo show, Saturday, February 7th. And you can find out more by going to the Mass Smoke website, massmoke.org, massmoke.org. Also, don't forget, February 17th, the new album comes out, Terraplane, Steve Earle's latest, Terraplane, coming out on the 17th. And again, you can find out more about the February 7th Mass Mocha show at massmocha.org. Steve Earle, always a pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations on all the cool stuff, and great to have you in town.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Again, Steve Earle, live in concert Saturday, February 7th at the Hunter Center at Mass Mocha. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. You're the best lover that I ever had.